Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The Word of God upon which we meditate this seventh Sunday after the Epiphany is the seventh and final sign revealed in the Gospel of John, showing that Jesus is the Son of God. It's found in chapter 11, where we read beginning at verse 31. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our only comfort in death, dear fellow redeemed in his precious blood. It's often difficult to know what to say when a friend suddenly calls and between sobs and tears speaks of a death. We want to speak comforting words, but very often we find ourselves at a loss. When you really care about someone, you don't want to pull out some tired old cliche and offer as comfort, "He's in a better place now." We don't want to sound like God made a mistake when we say, "I'm so sorry for your loss." Those who die trusting in Christ are not lost. They are with the Lord, which is far better. Perhaps it would be better if we simply took up the scriptures instead. In the letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul described the death of a believer like this. He said, "It is to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." So yes, let's take up scripture when we offer comfort. After all, Jesus is our comforter in death. He is our comforter both when we face the death of a fellow believer and when we face death ourselves. We will see this and be comforted this morning as we consider the seventh sign recorded in John's Gospel. May God grant that we may see and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and obtain eternal life in his name. Amen. They were being good neighbors, kind and considerate neighbors and friends. When Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, died, their friends and neighbors in Bethany came to them to comfort them in their grief. They made themselves available, not wanting the sisters to be alone and grow despondent in their grief. And so even after 4 days, after Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, there were still a number of them in the house trying to comfort the sisters. We sometimes do similar things yet today, don't we? When there's a death in the family of someone that we care about, we go to them. We might bring meals to them to help or to show our care. We may put ourselves at their disposal and offer to help with anything that they need. We comfort and encourage them as best we can by bringing the Word of God. And we should do these things because the Lord encourages us in the Scriptures in Romans chapter 12 to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. But we do them the greatest service when we direct them to Christ and to His promises. It's one thing just to be there for someone. It's quite another to bring the salve of Christ's word to soothe the open wounds that death so often causes. The best thing that we can do for someone sorrowing at the death of a loved one is first of all what Martha did. Compel them to come to Jesus. We're told in the words leading up to these, when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. When Lazarus first became sick, the two sisters sent word to him that the one whom he loved was sick. They were assured of Jesus' love for them and for their brother, and so they called Jesus first. Even after Lazarus died, Mary and Martha still sought Jesus for comfort. It wasn't that their friends and neighbors couldn't help. It was rather that Jesus' help was better. Then when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Mary saw Jesus again, she fell down at his feet and expressed her absolute confidence in him. Despite the way her words sound in our translation, she didn't question his timing. She didn't accuse him of not caring because of his seeming tardy appearance. Mary's love for Jesus was born sitting at his feet, listening to his word. Likewise, when death finds a friend or a family member, we ought to first seek Jesus in our sorrow. Why? Because, like Mary, we have been sitting at Jesus' feet. We have been listening to his word. And the Spirit of God has worked faith in our hearts to trust in him. We seek Jesus because we know, above all, that he humbled himself and set aside the full use of his power as God to live as our perfect substitute and then offer that perfect life as the atoning sacrifice for our sin, to free us from sin and from the grip of eternal death. We know from experience that he can help, that he can comfort us. We know from experience, well, from Scripture, that he knows what we go through. And we have evidence of that right here. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying?" Isn't there enough evidence here that Jesus knows what we go through? He surely heard Mary and the Jews weeping. He knew their sorrows. He knows the anguish and sorrow that we feel. And think about this. Even though he knew that he would raise up Lazarus in a few minutes, still, seeing their sorrow, we're told he groaned within and was deeply moved with a feeling of concern? Was it because their sorrow was despondent, as if there was no hope? Was it because he was disappointed that they were not confident in the promises of the resurrection? Was it simply because he saw the sorrow that often accompanies death? We can't say for certain what caused Jesus to groan in the spirit and be troubled, but we can see for certain that he knows what we go through, because he's been there before. And as they proceeded to the tomb of his friend Lazarus, Jesus cried. He didn't wail audibly as the Jews had been, because a different word is used. It's indicated that he simply shed tears. As human beings, sadly, are prone to do, those who saw Jesus weeping reacted in two different ways. Some of them saw Jesus' tears as evidence of his love for Lazarus. Others questioned whether or not he could have done more to help his friend. We'll see these tears of Jesus simply as proof that he was not only God, but also fully human, and deeply cared for Lazarus, and cares just as deeply for each of us. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. For most people, a graveyard's a creepy place. Perhaps because, first of all, it reminds us of death. We just as soon not talk about death, much less have any reminder of it. A cemetery is not usually a fun place. It's, for most, a place of painful memories, a place where old wounds are reopened. But what happened in this Bethany cemetery that day, and at a similar tomb on Easter Sunday, should take away all fear of death and pain for us. When Jesus asked that they remove the stone from the door of Lazarus' tomb, they wondered why would he want them to do that. It was the 4th day after Lazarus' death, and they didn't have fancy embalming procedures, and they lived in a warm climate in the Middle East. Suffice it to say that the smell of a bloated and rotting corpse would be distasteful, to say the least. Mary, like any family member at a grave of a loved one, balked at Jesus' suggestion of opening the tomb. But it didn't take a court order to have Lazarus' tomb opened. Jesus' word was enough. All it took was reminding Mary of what Jesus had promised: if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And so they did as Jesus asked. Jesus will be our comforter in death if we also trust him and take him at his word. If we turn away from useless cliches and emotional drivel, and instead focus on the promises that the Son of God has made, then hope will carry the day and take the sting from the sorrow of death. What could be better than the promise of the Son of God, who defeated death himself by rising from it? He himself promises us, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." On the Mountain of Transfiguration, which we consider next Sunday, Jesus showed his glory as the Son of God. It wasn't the first time. It won't be the last. For in the Bethany cemetery, Jesus revealed his glory as death's master in action. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Loose him and let him go. I want you to notice that first of all, Jesus prayed. And like many other times, Jesus didn't pray for himself, but he prayed on behalf of others. He prayed that those who heard his words would conclude properly that the Father had sent him. But he didn't only pray for them that day. He also prayed for us. In his high priestly prayer, the night before he was crucified, our Savior Jesus took the time to pray not only for his disciples, but also for you, saying, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And when Jesus finished his prayer, he turned to the tomb of Lazarus, and he called him from death to life. The same Jesus will one day call you from your grave. And then both you and Lazarus will come out of the grave, as the scripture declares. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Jesus promises a resurrection to eternal life to all who hear his voice and who believe in him. He who called Lazarus from death will also command death to let you go. As he himself promises, this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Therefore, to you who believe in Jesus Christ, death is but the door through which we pass into Jesus' presence. For the same Jesus who once raised Lazarus from the grave himself rose from the dead the third day, confirming that he is the Son of God, that your sins stand forgiven, that his promises are good, every one of them, and that you too will be raised. May God the Holy Spirit keep all of us in this faith, trusting that Jesus is the Son of God and our comforter in death, even until that day that he calls us from dust. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.